Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you, Father. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And we will continue our teaching on, we must know and understand the reality of God's word, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Again, we must know and understand the reality of God's word, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, and it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. So we see in the book of Hebrews, the word of God tells us without faith, it is impossible to please him. He did not say without prayer. He did not say without worship. He did not say without fellowship. He specifically said without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, those other subjects are very important, but in terms of priority with God, faith is what moves the hand of God. Amen? Faith is the key that unlocks the treasure chest of heaven. Faith is the key that moves the hand of the Almighty. Faith is the key by which you can obtain the desires of your heart. Amen. Faith is that which is pleases God. And faith is a gift which comes from God, given to us at the new birth. He gives us faith, but that faith has to be developed. It has not matured. That faith has to be brought into a place of strength. Amen. And that is what we're shooting for. Strong faith in our lives. Now, we were discussing our last time together about being born again by the Word and the Spirit. Now, we can be born again as a result of what Jesus did for us. And because of what he did for us, we can become legally the sons of God. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I will be reading from the New King James translations of the Bible. Amen. So 1 Peter chapter 23 says the same words that Jesus used when he spoke with Nicodemus. So 1 Peter 1:23 says this: having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Amen. We are born again by the word of God. Jesus says in John 3:5, he simply said this. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Amen. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, the word water there is not speaking about water baptism. Now, many people are thinking that is what it means, but it is not water baptism. The word water is symbolic for the word. Let me repeat that. The word water is symbolic for the word. Amen. You are born again of the word of God and the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit that quickens or makes alive through the word. As the Spirit of God impregnates or energizes that word, it becomes alive within us. Amen. Now, there are two agents involved in the new birth, just as there are two agents involved in natural birth. In natural birth, it takes a male and a female. It takes a sperm and an egg. The sperm fertilizes the egg. Conception takes place, and a child is born out of his mother's womb and into the world. Well, the spiritual birth is basically this. The word of God goes forth, because the word of God comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the Holy Spirit fertilizes that word, and it bursts into life within us. And a man is born out of the world into Christ Jesus. You are no longer a child of the world. You are now a child of Jesus. Amen. You can see water baptism doesn't have a thing in the world to do with your salvation. Because if it did, then that would mean that you are already saved by works. Amen. That would mean that you are already saved by works. And that will contradict what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Please go there, please. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9. And it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a what? A gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Amen. So, if baptism is the way you get saved, then that would be a work, wouldn't it? It is something we do. God doesn't come down here and baptize anybody in water. I've never seen God do that, have you? God the Father doesn't baptize in water. I've never seen the Holy Ghost baptize anybody in water. And I've certainly never seen Jesus baptize in water. No, men do that. It is a work, something we do. It is something that we participate in. The Bible says that a man is born again and saved without works. It's grace. It's a gift of God. That word water stands for the Word of God. Amen. The Spirit quickens the Word or makes the Word alive in you. And then you are born again out of this world into the family of God. Amen. Now remember, we are talking about principle number 3. And the principles that we are dealing with, we're dealing with 6 principles to obtain strong faith. Because the Word tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So those 6 principles are this. Number 1, we must know and understand the reality of God's Word. Principle number 2, we must know and understand the reality of your redemption in Christ. Principle number 3, we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Principle number 4, we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Principle number 5, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling Spirit. And principle number 6, we must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. And we are presently on principle number 3. We must know and understand the reality of the new creation. We have been born again. So we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are legally the sons of God. That means that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. All of the glories of heaven belong to us because we are the living sons of God. It is up to us to act like we are the sons of the living God. The reason that more of us don't have any more than we do is because we are not acting like we are the sons of God. Amen. We are acting like we are the sons of some poverty-stricken person that's out of a job. Amen. Please turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. It tells us this, Ephesians 2:1. And it says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin." You were dead. We were dead. We were dead in sins. You were dead in trespasses. It says that he has quickened or made alive you in Christ. Even when we're dead in sins, he had quickened or made us alive together with Christ. Amen. Verse number 5. Now notice, even when you were dead in sins. The spirit man was dead in sins, but that man has now been quickened or made alive in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now go to verse number 10. Verse number 10 in that same chapter. And it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Hallelujah. Do you realize that every time you belittle yourselves, every time you say, "I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, or I'm weak, or I can't make it, or I'm not good enough," you are casting a slander on God's great creation. When you confess that you're weak and you're unworthy, that you can't make it, that you can't do it, that God won't hear your prayers, you are saying that God's creation is no good. You're talking about his workmanship. Amen. We just read, "For we are his workmanship." We are his very workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus. So you are not unworthy. You are worthy. You are not unrighteous. You are righteous in Christ Jesus, or else God's creation isn't any good. And we know that everything God created was very good. Amen. When you start seeing yourself like that, when you start looking at yourselves and saying, "I'm a son of God, I'm a son of the King, I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, I am worthy, I am righteous, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus." When you begin to say that instead of all the negative you have been confessing, you will begin to rise up to that plateau where you will be able to exercise strong faith. Remember, our goal is to obtain strong faith. Get rid of your sin consciousness. I used to condemn myself. I hear people who go to prayer meetings and get up and testify, "Well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace." When they say that, they are still confessing that they are sinners. Now, I thought about that for a moment. Now, after I was saved, you're no longer a sinner anymore. I was a sinner, and I thank God I was saved by grace. And now I am a new creature in Christ. You are a new creature in Christ. When you say you are a sinner saved by grace, you are still confessing that you are in the same state that you were in before Jesus saved you. No, I am not a sinner. You may be a sinner, but I am not a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner, and thank God I was saved by grace, and now I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you are a new creature, then you are not what you used to be. You can't be. So stop confessing that garbage and thinking that you are being humble. When you do that, you are being ignorant and you are feeding the devil's lies. You are sapping up your own strength and vitality, spiritually speaking, by confessing something that you are not. You just read, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." Do you mean to tell me that God is in the business of creating sinners? What kind of nonsense is that? If you are created in Christ Jesus, you still an old sinner saved by grace, then you are saying that God's created a sinner. It looks to me like you wasted his time because you already were a sinner. He didn't need to do anything. He could have saved that energy on doing something else. Stop saying that. You are not a sinner saved by grace. You used to be a sinner, but thank God, God saved you by his grace, and now you are a new creation. You have been born again. You are a son of the King. You are a son of God. You are legally his son. If you feel like you're a sinner, then you ought to stop living like a sinner. Then you won't feel like one. You have to remember that all of your past life is gone. It's dead. It's buried. It's behind you. It's done away with. Praise God. It's already been judged, and it will never rise against you in the day of judgment. You've been set free from it. Amen. Thank God. All that you used to be, you are not that now. You need to stop telling yourself that you are a sinner saved by grace. You need to stop bringing up all that garbage that you did years ago. If you are constantly confessing all that stuff, that's being very stupid, because once God remits your sins, they are remitted forever. In Isaiah 43:25, it tells us something very interesting. Please go there. Isaiah 43:25. And it says, I am who blots out all your transgressions for my own sakes, and I will not remember your sins. Amen. He blotted out your sins, not for your sake, but for his own. If God doesn't remember it, why are you remembering it? Why do you keep bringing it up about what you did in the past? I used to do that. I used to get in the prayer meetings and pray all that stuff and confess sin over and over. I thought I had to do that until I got in one of those good moves. I would confess until tears started rolling down my cheeks, and then I knew I reached the throne of God. I would have those tears coming down and burning my cheeks, and I could pray. I felt good, like I was doing something. I felt like I put all of it together. Then I would walk right out of the church, and as soon as I stepped down the first step where the devil was with a hammer in his hand, bam, he hit me against the head, and I was down again. I was building into myself sin consciousness. Every time I confessed what I had confessed before, I kept building into my sin consciousness. When you are born again, there should be no more sin consciousness, because God said, I will blot out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins again. When you sin, you should confess that sin and forget it. The devil will try to make you keep remembering it. But if you think that you are being humble or remembering it, you are really being very foolish, because Satan is holding you in a trick bag. He's holding you in bondage. And that's his game. That's his trick. It's confusion. That's what he wants to do, is confuse you. Amen. And you have to understand, God is not the author of confusion. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, it says, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Once you are forgiven, then it's over with. If you bought a car and you made that last payment on that car, you don't still sit around talking about it. You paid it off. You don't still say, oh, I have another payment next month on this car. No, that car is paid off. So same way with you being born again. Once you are born again, your sins are paid off. And God will remember them no more. Amen. I didn't make it easy. God did. I didn't say I would not remember your sins. God said that. If that is making it easy, then God's the one that's guilty, not John McIntosh. He's not the one who said, I'll forgive your sins and cleanse you from all your righteousness. No, God said it. He's the one that said it. He's the one that said it. He will not remember your sins anymore. Amen. God made it just that easy for us. And we have to understand that. Well, I am just about out of time for today's teaching, but please join us next week when we continue our teaching on We Must Know the Reality of the Word of God. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We simply walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.